Chapter 19, Exodus chapter 19. You might remember, when you think about the book of Exodus, that chapter 20 is the first occurrence in the Bible of the Ten Commandments. And the second occurrence of the Ten Commandments is found in Deuteronomy chapter 5. And you might wonder what the word Deuteronomy means. It's the second giving of the law. Because if you remember, the children of Israel had the opportunity to take the promised land, but they didn't believe God, and so they wandered for 40 years until that generation died off. And then in Deuteronomy, God instructed that next generation, and of course in Joshua, they went in and took the land. We're not going to be in Exodus a whole lot more on Sunday nights. I'm going to jump around after chapter 19 just a little bit and wrap up some loose ends. But it has been interesting, if you've been here frequently on Sunday nights and heard the series of messages, it's been interesting to see what's happened in Exodus. You saw the deliverance from Egypt, and then as they went out into the wilderness, you saw God meet their needs. They had been given water. They had been given rest. They had been given food, the manna. They had been given victory over the Amalekites. And all of this has been taking place while, if you know the geography at all, there's the Sinai Peninsula, and they have been traveling south, down towards the southern portion of the Sinai Peninsula where Mount Sinai is located. It's also called the Mount of God. And the reason God brought them to this place was to give them the law. Now, if someone were to say to you that they think that they're saved by keeping the law, an interesting question would be, then how did people get saved before Exodus chapter 20? Because they didn't have the law. Abraham didn't have the law. Isaac didn't have the law. Jacob didn't have the law. Joseph didn't have the law. Romans says they had a law in their hearts, but the written law was not given until the last half of the book of Exodus. And then as long as you want to talk about the law, you might remember something. The law is not just the Ten Commandments. There's a whole series of ordinances and instructions that God gave them. Galatians explains to us that the law is our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. This message tonight, it deals with God preparing the nation of Israel to have Moses appear before him in the mount to receive the law. Now, up to this point in time, they've been gone from Egypt about 3 months. They're going to be at this location for perhaps a year or more. And I'm not going to go through the last half of Exodus on Sunday nights. We'll move to another place in the Bible. But I will tell you that what happens here is not meant to save them. It is meant to point them to a Savior. I was in a... some of you have heard me talk about this a little bit. About 5 years ago, the Southern Baptist Convention held their annual meeting in downtown Baltimore. And I went and had a press pass and was able to take pictures and help another fellow who has a newspaper. And I took a bunch of pictures for him. And so I was able to go pretty much wherever I wanted to and to take pictures. And I could go out in front of the barrier and get up next to the speaker and get pictures of him and so on. And they had a speaker on I think it would probably have been Monday night. It was a very, what's the right word to use? It was not a God-honoring meeting. What they did was not God-honoring. It appealed to the flesh. They basically had a rock concert is what they did. And then between the rock concert sessions, they would have an emerging church speaker come up. Rick Warren spoke. I can't name all the other men, but there were half a dozen of them. But one of the men that spoke was a man named Francis Chan. And Francis Chan, if you don't know what the emerging church movement is, maybe we'll teach some classes on that somewhere along the way. But basically, it's the idea that we treat God like our buddy. We treat God very casually. You'll notice that the speakers, that if you see these fellows, they wouldn't wear a tie. They probably would come out in jeans and tennis shoes and maybe a polo shirt that wasn't tucked in. And they go out of their way to be casual. All I know is when we appear before God, we ought to appear our best. Amen? You say, Pastor, is it wrong not to dress up for church? I just know I dress up for church, and that's not just because I'm the pastor. I tell you this, if God was to tell me I needed to not be a pastor anymore and I started just going to church as a church member, I'd dress just like this. Now, I'm not trying to hurt your feelings. I'm not trying to tell you to change or anything. I'm just telling you that when you appear before God, it's not a casual thing. Amen? And that's what's happening here. They're getting ready to appear before God, and they need to understand who God is. Francis Chan made a foolish statement in that meeting. He said, you know, Moses went up to the mountain. He said, all the people should have gone up into the mountain, he said. And he was being really audacious about that. No, the Bible says right here, stay away from the mountain. The Bible says right here, Moses can go up. And if you remember, and I'll show you this perhaps in days to come, when he came down from the mountain, his face was shining, and he had to put a veil over his face because the people didn't want to look at him that way. And they said to him, and I'm paraphrasing, they said, you know what? We don't want to hear God's voice anymore. You go talk to God and come back and tell us what he said, because that scared us too much. You see, we take it for granted today. Hebrews teaches us this, and we've been going through that on Sunday mornings. We take it for granted. Folks, we are commanded in Hebrews chapter 4 to come boldly under the throne of grace. The throne of grace is God's throne that we come to in prayer. He says in Hebrews 4:16, let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. But that's not the way it was in the Old Testament. God is a holy and a righteous God. And God expects holiness and righteousness. And the only way that you and I can come before him is if we are cleansed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you take it for granted that Jesus has forgiven you for all your sins, you need to read some Bible and get that taken care of. It's a privilege to come before God we heard about this in Sunday school this morning, in the name of Christ. And one of the things we come in the name of Christ, we come in his righteousness. And you and I are clothed in his righteousness, the Bible says. But in the Old Testament, an entire different situation. These people, if they wanted to bring their petition to God, for example, if they wanted to be forgiven, first they had to bring a sacrifice, and then they would give that to the priest, and the priest would offer the sacrifice on their behalf, and then he would go before God with their petition for forgiveness. Now today, we do the same thing, but our priest is the Lord Jesus Christ, and he is our sacrifice. So when we go before the Lord today, we take it for granted that we can go there and go there whenever we want and go there boldly. But it's not because of our righteousness. It's because of his righteousness and our salvation. So what you're going to see tonight in the first part of Exodus chapter 19 is the instructions that the Lord gave Moses to prepare the people before Moses appeared before God. And please hear what I'm about to say. We will all stand before God one day. And when we stand before him, if you have been taking him casually, if you have been, for example, and hopefully nobody here falls into this category, but if you have just decided, I'm going to do what I want to do, I'm not too worried about being faithful, I'm not too worried about serving God, I'm not too worried about being holy, in fact, I'll just do anything I want to, and I'm going to take care of myself, entertain myself, provide for myself, etc. And, you know, who cares? I'm going to do what I want to do. And you stand before God one day. When you stand before God, you'll care. You'll care in one of two ways. You'll either care because you never received Christ as your Savior. And folks, Matthew describes this. There are people that think they are saved and they're lost. Paul says, examine yourself to see if you be in the faith. There are people that think they are saved that are lost. And when they appear before God, it's going to be a horrible, horrible thing. Jesus is going to say to them, depart from me, ye that work iniquity, I never knew you. Make sure you're saved. Amen? Amen. And then remember this, salvation is not just, oh, now I haven't got to go to hell, I can live the kind of life I want, I can keep living in my sin. No, salvation is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit coming into your life. And folks, the Holy Spirit, when he comes into you, he's going to make some changes. And they're good changes. And he's going to change you, and he's going to make you what you ought to be. And if there is no evidence of the Holy Spirit working in someone's life, if you cannot see the Holy Spirit working in your life, if you can go out and you can be wicked and it doesn't bother you, and you can sin and it doesn't bother you, and you can do what you want to do and you don't care what God thinks and that doesn't worry you, if you can do that, I would seriously consider the possibility that you're not saved. Because when the Holy Spirit lives in you and you sin, what happens is the Holy Spirit convicts you about that. And then your sin will grieve you and you'll want to be right with God. And you'll want to pray and you'll want to get close to Him. You'll want that relationship with Him. That's what He does when He saves us. All of this, in this passage, what you see is how great, how holy, how righteous God is. And literally what He's doing, and we'll see more of it in the last half of the chapter, He is preparing the people to tell them, if you approach God unprepared, you're going to die. It's true today, isn't it? If you approach God and you're not saved, the Bible says He gave us eternal life. That the unsaved person is death for all eternity. That doesn't mean annihilation. That means suffering and hell and torment and what the Bible calls perdition. So let me read you Exodus chapter 19. I'll read verses 1 through 15. We'll have a word of prayer. Let's stand for the reading of God's word. And then we'll look at this preparation to meet the Lord. The Bible says in Exodus chapter 19, beginning in verse 1, in the third month, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day came they into the wilderness of Sinai. For they were departed from Rephidim and were come to the desert of Sinai and had pitched in the wilderness, and there Israel camped before the mount. And Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. And Moses came and called for the elders of the people and laid before their faces all these words which the Lord commanded him. And all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord hath spoken, we will do. And Moses returned the words of the people unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Moses, lo, I come unto thee in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with thee, and believe thee forever. And Moses told the words of the people unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Moses, go unto the people, and sanctify them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes and be ready against the third day. For the third day the Lord will come down in the sight of all the people upon Mount Sinai, and thou shalt set bounds unto the people round about, saying, take heed to yourselves that ye go not up into the mount, or touch the border of it. Whosoever toucheth the mount shall be surely put to death. There shall not an hand touch it, but he shall surely be stoned or shot through, whether it be beast or man, it shall not live. When the trumpet soundeth long, they shall come up to the mount. And Moses went down from the mount unto the people, and sanctified the people, and they washed their clothes. And he said unto the people, be ready against the third day, come not at your wives. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you tonight. Lord, thank you for letting us be here. Thank you for the word of God. Thank you for the encouragement you have been to us today. Lord, we know that there are folks in our number that face trials, obstacles that Satan has placed in their path, some health issues, some family issues. Lord, we are powerless to affect those situations, but we ask that you would be a very great help in time of need, a very present help in time of need, as you promised us in the Psalms. And I pray for those folks that in each case that you would provide the proper result. Lord, we know that the Lord Jesus Christ could come back tonight, and we would pray as we're commanded, even so come, Lord Jesus. But until that day, God, I ask you to please bless us with the strength that we need, the provision that we need, and also, Lord, with the direction that we need. I pray folks here tonight would be able to see some things in this passage that apply and are practical in their lives. I pray you'd bless the preaching of your word. The Holy Spirit could move freely tonight. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, here's what's going to happen. Moses goes up to the mount. He gets a message from God. He comes back down. He gives that message to the people. The people respond, and the people say, that's what we will do. Moses goes back and talks to God a second time and brings that message back down. This is before he goes up and stays in the mount for 40 days. And 40 in the Bible is a number of completion. It's when you see 40s, most of the time it refers to something that's completely done. And we're going to see that in a later message. But there are two or three things that God instructs Moses to do and some things as far as preparing before the Lord. And I think they would apply to us. I'll show you some of these. The first one would be this. Even before the meeting with the Lord, even before the giving of the law and all the commandments that are going to follow, God had provided a place for these people to meet with God. And you got to think about this in terms of a divine appointment. In other words, if you go all the way back to Abraham in Genesis and you think about looking forward from Abraham hundreds and hundreds of years and what's going to happen, God had this appointment for Israel in mind. He brought them to this place. When Israel was in Egypt and they were in captivity, God knew, I'm going to set them free from that captivity at the right time and take them to this mountain to give them the law. And of course, the law being that which leads us to Christ. And there's another divine appointment when Christ died on the cross. It was a divine appointment when you and I got saved. Amen? In other words, somewhere along the way, somebody brought you the gospel. I don't think most of us got saved the first time we heard it. But somewhere along the way, someone gave you the gospel, and the Holy Spirit worked in your heart. And in my instance, as a young man living in Carlsbad, New Mexico, in the 1960s and early 70s, really late 60s, really, the Lord made it clear to me that I was a sinner, that I had broken God's law. That's what we have coming right here in Exodus, the law. I had broken God's law. God said, there's some things that you are to do. These are not suggestions. These are not good ideas. They're God's law. Thou shalt not, and so forth. And I realized that I was guilty before God. That's how you get saved, is realizing that you're guilty. You don't get saved so you can continue in your sin. You get saved from your sin. And so in whatever place it was, somewhere God brought you the gospel, the Holy Spirit convicted you, and there you got saved. Amen? What a great life to come and find the Lord Jesus Christ, and how sad some people reject him. These people are brought to a place, this place of Mount Sinai. It's a place that was chosen by him. It's a place near to him, and it's a place of rest, but not of tremendous comfort. Just two or three thoughts here. First of all, I think of that place in the New Testament where the Lord Jesus Christ said, depart from me, ye that work iniquity, I never knew you. I think about that, and I think of the fact that, aren't you glad the Lord knows you? And you know him, amen? We heard somebody mention tonight, relationship, friendship. The Lord is not just someone out there. He's in my heart. The Lord is not just someone far off. He's someone near. And whatever place God brings you to in your life, it ought to be a place that's near to him, and it's a place that you can trust him. He brought you there. Wherever you are in your life right now, I hope where the Lord brought you. And if you're not, I hope you'd listen to him and let him take you where you need to be. This was a place that was near him. It was not the most comfortable of places, but it was sufficient. It was a secluded place. It was a safe place, and it was a place where they were going to be alone with God for a while. Kind of reminds me a little bit of daily devotions, amen? Where you get away quietly, you listen to the Bible, you're free from distraction. you got to do it before the kids get up or whatever. And God brought them, excuse me, to this place where he could meet with them. The first message to Moses was given here in verses 3 through 6. It's a message for Israel. You'll see this over and over and over again. The very first message is in verse 5. First of all, he says in verse 4, "You've seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bear you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself." There's that place near God. And why was Egypt judged? Because they did not obey God. And what does God tell Israel in verse 5? Look carefully at this. He says, "Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people." Now I want to ask you, did Israel do that? They really didn't. If you go forward in time to the place about 586 BC, Israel was overwhelmed, taken by the Assyrians first and then the Babylonians, and taken into captivity because they disobeyed God. If you could obey the Lord in all things, if you could, that would be a path to salvation. But we can't, can we? Galatians chapter 5 teaches us this. Galatians chapter 5 says, "The flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the thing that you would." And the thing that you would in Galatians is to be saved by keeping the law. The law is our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works. Now, every one of us, if we're saved, we understand something. We didn't deserve it, did we? What a good God we have. What a wonderful God we have, that He would send His Son to take our place, to take our judgment, to give us His righteousness, to allow our sins to be placed on Him on that cross, and then to allow His righteousness to be given to us. So when you stand before God one day, if you're saved, you will stand there clothed in His righteousness, prepared to stand before Him. Many years ago, right after we got to Maryland, we had an old motorhome, and we didn't use it very often, but once or twice, maybe three times, I think, before we finally sold it in Maryland. We were so very busy. We took this motorhome down to a city. It's called Front Royal. If you know the East Coast at all, what Front Royal is, west of Washington, D.C., about 60 miles. And it's a really pretty country, rolling hills. The Shenandoah River flows right by there. And we took the motorhome there and took two or three days off. And when I would go on a trip like that, we'd plan to go to church. And so we got there, and I had forgotten to bring dress clothes. And I thought, well, that's okay, because on Wednesday nights, a lot of times folks go to church casually. And so we all packed up, and Stephanie probably remembers this. I know Deborah does. And we went to church. And we got to this church, and the auditorium was about this size. They had pews. And the pastor was talking to me, and he asked me what I was doing there. And I said, well, you know, we're taking a little break. And he asked me, what do you do? And I said, well, I'm a pastor in Maryland. And he really, and I would do the same. He was glad to meet me, and he was very gracious. And he said, you know what? He said, I need some help tonight. Our song leader is not here. Would you lead the singing? Now, I'm the world's worst song leader, but if I can help, I'll try. And I thought, the one time in my life I go to church with no necktie on, and now I got to stand up in front of people, and I'm going to try to lead the singing. I was not happy with my appearance. I was wishing I had better prepared for that appearance that I had to make. I led the singing, and it went all right, and nobody said anything, but I knew I could have done better. Folks, when we appear before God, if we appear anything less than the righteousness of Christ, we're not ready. If we appear in our works or in our whatever, we're not ready. It's the righteousness of Christ that must clothe us. Amen? And if you don't get anything else out of this message, just remember this. You don't want to appear before God unprepared. It's a serious matter. We saw later in the passage that death could be a consequence. So look again at the passage. There was a place, and this first message is given, and the message in verse 5 is that they must obey, and if they will obey, then God will do certain things. But they didn't obey, and God still did some things, and we see those later in the Bible. I'll move along. So then we come to verse 7, and he says, Moses came and called for the elders of the people and laid before their faces all these words. And what they are is simply God's instruction that they must be obedient, all these words which he commanded him. And all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. And Moses returned to the words of the Lord, the words of the people unto the Lord. Verse 8, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. A couple of thoughts here. First of all, Moses gave them all the words. I have studied this out two or three times, and you might want to know that there are at least 25 times in the Bible that where the phrase, all the words, is used in conveying God's message to the people. And I want you to know something, and don't take this lightly. We have all the words right here. There are people that say words don't matter. Thoughts are what matter. That's sort of like saying the building matters, but it doesn't matter what you build it with. You know, if this building was built out of paper mache, it matters. When the rain comes, it's coming down. The words are what present the thoughts. They are the words of God. Moses didn't go back to the people and say, well, let me just generalize here and tell you kind of what God said. That's not the way God's message is communicated. We've got to be careful with that. There are people today that think it's okay to change God's word. It is not okay to change God's word. Right. Amen? And most importantly, let me just say it this way. If you understand that you have the word of God, then you're accountable to it, aren't you? And we are. And so Moses brought the message to them clearly, and the people responded, and they made a promise. Now, we have been going through Judges on Wednesday nights, and I think you would agree with me, they did not keep their promise. I'm not sure what to say. Should they have made that promise? Yes. Should they have kept that promise? Yes. Are we able to do everything that God commands us? That's kind of a trick question. We are able, but we are flesh, and we have weakness. But we have the ability to try, don't we? And we have a gracious God who's merciful, and He knows our weakness. He knows that we have this treasure in earthen vessels. There's no way you and I can attain to perfection in this flesh, because our flesh will prevent that from happening. Again, Galatians 5. But we certainly can make an effort. And if you're not making that effort, the question would be, don't you care what God thinks? I'm stuck on something Brother Mendez mentioned last Tuesday. He's mentioned this a couple of times, that when people willfully disobey God, it's just as if they looked at him and said, I don't care. But it's true. But we do care, amen? Amen. Praise the Lord, we care. They made this promise. This promise was to perform the word of God. They said, we will do, in verse 8, all that the Lord has spoken. And that promise then paved the way for more of a message to how to prepare. And that brings us down to verses 9 through 15. We won't be long here, but look at this. First of all, God had given them this place to prepare. And then there was this promise by the people to perform. And now we begin to look at a purity to pursue. And you look what God tells them to do in verses 9 through 15. In verse 9, the Lord tells Moses, I come unto thee in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with thee and believe thee forever. I have talked to some people that said they have heard the voice of God. I have not audibly heard the voice of God, but I do have the voice of God right here. If you talk to somebody that's hearing voices, send them my way. I'll see if I can help them with that. But God communicates with us through His Word. It is complete and it is perfect. These people heard the voice of God. And as I've told you before, they told Moses, we don't want to do that again. Let God tell you and then you tell us. That was too fearful for us. These people today that treat God so casually and act as if He's just somebody else that we can treat like any other person, they don't know who God is. And you ever witness to somebody and try to get them to understand that they need the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, and they just don't seem to care? And we have an old saying for that. You got to get somebody lost before you can get them saved. but people don't seem to be too concerned about their sin. I've met people like that quite often. They just don't seem to care. And what it comes down to is this. If you know, I'll say it that way, if you know who God is, how holy He is, how powerful He is, how righteous He is, I don't know what words to use other than what the Bible uses. If you could see who God was, like Ezekiel did, for example, and then you can see who you are, you'll get saved. The misunderstanding is people don't know who God is. They don't understand the righteousness of God. There's no respect for Him. There's no fear for Him. There will be a fear, but in that day it will be too late. And Moses was going to be in a situation to where God wasn't just going to let him hear the voice, but the people would hear. And I'll say it this way, God wants folks to know who He is. God wants folks to understand how righteous He is, how dangerous it is not to be in good standing with Him. God wants folks to know that, and He wants these people to know that. And He demonstrates that to them, and we'll see that as the book of Exodus continues. And then in verse 10, the Lord said unto Moses, go unto the people and sanctify them. And that word sanctify is an interesting word. It means to make something clean, to purify it, to make it holy, to cleanse it. He tells them to wash their clothes. They're going to be ready to appear before the Lord, and He wants them to have a purity. Now, it's not just that appearance before God on Judgment Day when we're clothed in the righteousness of Christ, but day by day, we need to stay right with God. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I could ask it this way. Are you right with God right now? Are you right with God right now? When's the last time you came before the Lord and confessed your sin and asked Him to forgive you? Hopefully today, hopefully every day, amen? And we come before the Lord, and then does He forgive? His mercy endures forever. Hopefully we can say right now I'm right with God. I could ask this question, why wouldn't you want to be right with God? And here's the answer, because I want my sin more than I want to be right with Him. That's what people decide. And it kind of shocks me, but sometimes Christians decide that. They get a taste of something the world has to offer, and they want their sin. And when you are walking in sin, when you are living in your sin, what you're doing is you're turning your back to God, and you're not right with Him. Folks, stay right with God. Paul said it this way. He said, always be ready to pray. In other words, at any second, you ought to be able to look up to God and be right with Him and be able to pray to Him. We should practice the presence of God, someone said. And what that means is, He promised He'd never leave you or forsake you, amen? So you should constantly be aware of His presence. And we fail in that from time to time. Shame on us for doing so. He says, before you're going to hear from me, before you're going to appear before me, you need to sanctify yourself. You need, he says, wash your clothes. He says, be ready in verse 11. And then he says in verses 12 and 13, he says, I want you to set a boundary around this mountain and tell those people not to come there, not to touch it. Don't let the animals touch it. This is something that is holy, and this is a place that is off limits. If you're not the prepared person that's supposed to be there, then you stay away. Now, today, again, I quoted you the verse already. We're commanded to come boldly. Amen. What a privilege that is. Do you take advantage of that? Are you right with Him? Do you pray? Let me ask you this way. Would you like to be? Amen? And you can. And you say, but Pastor, I commit sins. I know that, but the blood of Christ cleanses us. And you say, Pastor, I'm not sure how to be right with God. I think it's pretty clear right here. If you will establish a relationship with Him and talk to Him and confess to Him, He'll forgive you. And there will be that closeness, that one-on-one relationship with Him. These people were being taught the fear of the Lord, how they should not take Him for granted, underestimate Him, or think of Him in an ordinary sense. He's a righteous and a holy God. And so we come to the end here in verse 14. Moses went down from the mount unto the people, He sanctified the people. There's that word again. They washed their clothes. And he said, be ready against the third day. Come not at your wives. You know what that means. What he's telling them is, this is a special time. Save this time for the Lord. Do you have a time for the Lord in your life? Every day we should have that. So at the end of the passage, and we'll continue this next week, but I'll stop for tonight. What's going to happen is Moses is going to go up, and in verse 1 of chapter 20, he's going to be given the law. And when he receives that law, the very time, now listen, this is interesting. The people just finished saying, we will obey the Lord. He's up in the mountain getting the law. What are the people doing? They're making a golden calf. How fickle are people? You know, it's amazing to me that God even puts up with us. But he loves us. And he does put up with us, doesn't he? That's not an excuse for being wicked, but it certainly says a lot about God. And while, after all this preparation, while Moses is up receiving the law, the people get tired of waiting and they tell Aaron, they say, up, make us gods. We don't know what's happened to Moses. And they lose sight of the whole thing. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but shame on us if we let that happen. Walk with the Lord, amen? He's prepared the place that you're in. He's commanded you to obey him. He's given you instructions to be holy before him. We ought to be very careful how we walk before him, amen? Let's all stand and pray.